You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right, and proud of it. Hey, it is 2:07 p.m., June the 30th, and Copper's running the board. Hey, Miss Copper, how you doing? I'm glad to hear it. It's almost Friday. Almost. Like, lean in. It's going to be here soon. All right, we got a lot of good stuff on the show lineup for today. Copper, go ahead and get the triple dipper sound effect ready. So, yeah, listen, folks, you want to stay tuned for this because at 3:30, Brian Taylor, my friend, former state senator, advisor to two governors and attorney for both of the election challenges that are still ongoing. I mean, how in the world my friend Brian got himself into both of these, I don't know. But nonetheless, he's going to be on the show with us at 3:30 because, yeah, there are actually some crazy things happening. Bottom line is it ain't over till it's over on these election challenges, and we'll tell you about that, and Brian will talk to you about it firsthand. So that's at 3:30 with Brian Taylor. 4 p.m., one of my favorite times of every single week, the Grand Council with my brethren Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. So we'll be on the air together, all three of us. We ping each other with questions. We see how we do. We don't always agree, as evidenced by last week's Grand Council. But nonetheless, we love each other when it's over. So yeah, the Grand Council, 4 p.m. All of that, and I still got a triple dipper. So Copper, hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that we are running today's show on. Number one, I didn't get to it yesterday, so I'm doing it today. Where are the Warriors? Where are the Warriors? We have an existential crisis. I just used that term. That's like a favorite Democrat term. But nonetheless, we have a big crisis going in military recruiting. Not only military recruiting, but in retention. So what's happening? Where are the Warriors? We'll talk about that, number one, on the Triple Dipper. Number two, it ain't over till it's over. That's that segment I told you about a moment ago with these election challenges. Did you know, literally, that we had the Republican Executive Committee meet, decide that there was a need to add one more vote, which brought a state Senate district, an entire district, to one vote difference, brought it to a tie, and now they're going to rehear it again because new evidence has arisen. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'll tell you about that. Number two on the Triple Dipper. It ain't over till it's over. And number three on the Triple Dipper, Bidenomics. Yeah, okay, not the least of which is the fact that the average cookout for 4th of July is now going to be 17% more expensive than it was last year. That's sort of like Copper's thing yesterday. Check out your own personal level of inflation. Well, 17% of the increase over the cost of doing a barbecue, if you will, on 4th of July. All right, but you know that first part of the Triple Dipper I told you I got, where are the Warriors? My comments today, my opening monologue, is going to kind of focus in that direction. And let me just start by asking you this. You ever think about mottos? Okay. You're like, what do you say? Mottos? Yeah, mottos. Seriously, do you ever stop to think about how organizations or brands get their mottos, their slogans, if you will? And I'm not talking about marketing jingles that are designed to simply make a product more appealing. I'm talking about the mottos that form the basis for a true statement of a team or a unit's designation. Something that speaks to who they are and where they're coming from. Like this show, we say it all the time, solid, conservative, and just plain right. It's a phrase, it's a motto that was coined for the purpose of doing more than just looking good on a t-shirt, which it does, by the way. It's a phrase that's intended to give the person that hears it sort of a sense of the show. All in one phrase, you get a dose of confidence, a compass bearing to the right, a bit of humor, a splash of energy. It says who we are as an organization, as a bunch of right-side ruffians, and as a program. Well, mottos are everywhere, but they're also especially prolific in the military. And they oftentimes give us more than just a sense of pride and confidence, but also of legacy. Like, for instance, the Marine Corps has one, and all of you know it. Walk up to any current or veteran Marine and say, Semper Fi. And they'll immediately take note, and sometimes they'll even stand a little straighter. Semper Fidelis is Latin for always faithful or always loyal. And it's woven into the fabric of every Marine. Army Rangers have two mottos. The U.S. Army's 75th Ranger Regiment has the official motto of Sua Sponte. Sua Sponte, a Latin phrase that means of their own accord. It's a phrase that implies that the members of the Ranger Regiment are there of their own volition, three-time volunteers, one to join the service, one to go airborne, and one to be a Ranger. Rangers everywhere, though, are known for the motto, Rangers lead the way, and it comes from a direct order that was given to Rangers on Omaha Beach during the Normandy invasion, and what followed was the first Allied breakout of the landing beaches by those Rangers. Other units have equally significant battle-borne mottos, like the 59th Infantry Regiment. During the Meuse-Argonne Offensive in World War I, enemy troops tried to ambush members of the 59th, but the enemy was discovered by one of the 59th sergeants who yelled, "Let them have it!" And they did. And "Let them have it" became the official unit motto. Lists like this go on and on. Like the U.S. Navy SEALs motto, "The only easy day was yesterday." 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, "Get some." The nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan, "Peace through strength." The United Kingdom's Royal Gurkha Rifles, their motto is, "Better to die than to be a coward." U.S. Army Special Forces, "De oppresso liber." That's Latin for "to liberate the oppressed." Like I said, the list can go on and on, but the fact is, these mottos are not accidental. They're intentional. They memorialize great events, they inspire future events, and they give those on the outside of the unit the sense that there is something inside the unit worth being a part of. Well, I question, and here's the point of my saying all this, I question whether or not the current efforts to recruit the next generation of American warfighters is invoking that same warrior ethos. More than just a question, really, it's a deep concern, and I know it's shared by many. Right now, we're hearing the U.S. military recruiting is down 23%, almost a fourth, and that the service branches are literally forecasting reduced troop end strength to the extent that they've stopped hoping for increases and are actually lowering the bar. Why would that be? In a day and age when our military offers a guaranteed paycheck, retirement benefits, skills training, education funding, or as some would say, three hots in a cot, what's missing? Well, I would hazard the opinion that what is really missing are the kind of things that are being talked about in those mottos. A sense of mission. A sense of adventure. Current leadership, both civilian and military, has openly espoused views on military culture that literally denigrates the uniformed services to the general public. Liberal leadership in both the Pentagon and inside the Beltway have taken the position that the U.S. military is their petri dish for social experimentation. You think me wrong? Well, compare the recruiting ads for the U.S. Army and the Russian Army and the Chinese Army. So while cartoon-based ads for the U.S. Army tell the special story of Susie who grew up with two mommies and how diverse the Army has become, our near-peer adversaries are running ads that depict training someone how to push their limits, overcome actual adversities, and defeat the enemies of their country. Think about it. I mean, if you told a high school athlete that their team was there to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, how many of those young athletes are going to try out for the team? But if you tell those same athletes that the team exists to bond like brothers and sisters, to stretch their physical and mental and emotional limits, and to work as one to achieve victory, and those same kids then would be standing in line to be a part of something bigger than themselves. The person who is willing to volunteer for a rugged life of selfless sacrifice and occasional true hardship and sometimes danger in the military is not, generally speaking, the kind of person who wants to be a part of an organization that's hyper-focused on perceived social injustices and implied weaknesses. I mean, I recall distinctly once that while I was writing an evaluation for one of my stellar junior officers, one of the best young company commanders I had, that I had to limit the verbiage about what an effective troop leader he had proven to be in the combat zone in order to squeeze in the woke verbiage mandated by the Department of the Army that, oh yeah, he also upholds the command policies on sexual harassment and equal opportunity. It was galling. And that was nearly 8 years ago, but it's nothing like what we're seeing today, as the Pentagon freely admits that it is spending millions of man hours conducting seminar-style training against perceived systemic racism in the ranks, or trying to convince troops that transgenders in the barracks won't be disruptive at all, or denying in, you know, sort of blanket fashion, the request for religious accommodation of the Biden vaccine mandate, and thereby crushing military careers and depleting readiness. And just so you know, all that I'm saying right now, this is not just the admonitions of some old guy who used to serve, all right? Truth be told, I only took off my boots 5 years ago, but even still, this is an admonition for what it takes to build a fighting force that will protect and defend our nation's vital national security interests. It's not about climate change or gender equity or any other dribble. It's about the ability to pivot when needed from winning friends to killing enemies. It's about the ability to show the world that every one of those unit mottos that I read you at the beginning of this monologue are real. They're not just historical puffery. They are the way we build soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and Guardians. Those mottos need to come back. More than just a slogan on a day room wall or on the crest of their uniform, those mottos need to be the way of life, the actual way of life. So you say recruiting's down? Well, I say lack of mission and lack of purpose. But if you want to see that change, then you tell the next generation. You tell them. If they join up, that they would live a life of high adventure, part of a vaunted legacy of warfighters, pushing their limits and standing with their brothers and sisters against what ills may come to defeat the enemies of this nation. You tell them that. You tell them that. And by God, recruiting will go through the roof. You just watch. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there it is. Yeah, am I an old guy with, you know, hung his boots up a while back? Sure. But I can see it. And I can tell you right now, the next generation of warfighters wants to be the next generation of warfighters. They don't want to be the next generation of social justice warriors. They don't want to come in and be told, oh, by the way, now that you're here, please understand you're involved in systemic racism. They don't want to have to do, you know, privilege walks and transgender therapy conversions within the ranks. No. They want to be warfighters. By God, put the mottos back in and live it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.